Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 1 Podcast.
And Pleasant, good afternoon. Welcome to Friday. We are knocking on the door of a weekend, and it's a holiday weekend at that. Thanks so much for being a part of the program, and we are raring to get going. We'll get to your phone calls in just a moment at 855-242-7285. First, a few headlines before the guests start dropping by here. And what about the NCAA? This is a case kind of crept up on us, but people are paying attention. Johnson versus the NCAA. The judges are asking the right questions, and the NCAA looks like it's about to take yet another beating in court. Now, this headline, I must admit, I was a little bit shocked at when I got off a plane a few minutes ago and saw that this is from Topmeyer. Alabama football adds Ken. This is not the headline I'm talking about, though. Ken Wisenhunt, no big surprise. He was a mentor to Tommy Rees and a longtime friend of Nick Saban. Just another Saban rehab program there for an out-of-work coach. But the headline that I was talking about is this one. Blake Topmeyer, Nick Saban may get college football thrown back after Kirby Smart hire. Topmeyer completely looking past the Tommy Rees hire as good or bad, and essentially he's not saying this, but he's saying it. He's basically saying Kirby Smart screwed up. Kirby Smart screwed up by getting Bobo as Todd Monken's replacement. We'll talk a lot about that this afternoon. Nicole will join us in a few minutes on the trial. Connor Riley, and yes, it's SEC baseball season. KP Omaha joins us later in the show to preview. There's only about 10 SEC, well, I think there's 8 SEC teams in the top 10 or something like that. There's too many to count. Let's get to the phones at 855-242-7285 and begin with Dustin, who is in Tuscaloosa. Hello, Dustin.
Good morning from Tuscaloosa, Paul.
Dustin, I was just trying to throw you. I looked down and I said, T-U-L-S-A, that's Tulsa.
Hey, we can call it Tulsaloosa if you like, man. Tuscaloosa. Happy Friday.
What's the difference between Tulsa? I met a lady yesterday that lives in Tulsa. I started to ask her if she knew you. I was, but anyway, I didn't.
That's probably safe. The only real difference between Tulsa and Tuscaloosa is Jim doesn't live here, which is why I do live here. I wouldn't want to run into him around town. You know what I mean?
I really don't. I don't understand what you're talking about, but go ahead.
Well, you said, what's the difference between Tulsa and Tuscaloosa? And I said, the difference is that Jim.
Yeah, no, I heard all that. But what I don't understand is what would be wrong with being in the same town as Jim.
Oh, I don't know. Have you listened to his phone calls? I wouldn't want to run into that
guy. I have not. I've never heard one of his calls. But anyway.
Hey, speaking of phone calls, I appreciate what you guys did this week when you folded AC's call directly into Matt's and then in the same show. You folded AJ's call directly into Jim's. I mean, from an entertainment standpoint alone, that was brilliant, man. And then your interview with Switzer, and even Cole and Roman yesterday, they took good care of kept the home fires burning while you were gone, man. It's been a really good week on the show.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I appreciate them being here yesterday. While I was actually not too far from you yesterday, but we'll no big deal.
We'll talk about it later. Next time you're in the neighborhood, we need to know. We need to keep an eye on Feinbaum. Hey, quick question for you with realignment, and I know that you keep getting all these questions and things like that. My main sticking point here, and I think we've brought this up before, but do you know why A&M was allowed to come in and supplant the end-of-the-year game that Arkansas has with LSU? Because now everybody keeps talking about how LSU is going to have to stick with A&M, and Arkansas is going to get Missouri. I mean, for starters, that's not a rivalry game. I don't even want them. I'd rather have LSU back. I mean, why was A&M able to come in and just demand to have LSU and pop us right out of a spot that we've been in for a long time?
You know, I don't know, because it did happen, and you're right. That was a very big game. What was that game for? The Arkansas, was that the boot game?
The Golden Boot. Yeah.
Okay.
And LSU has the edge on us, but it's still a game that we look forward to every year. In some years, it was almost like, you know, hey, even if we have a down season, as long as we can beat LSU to go out of the, you know, finish the year out, it'll be okay. I mean, I really love that game, and I think taking it away is a mistake. I know there's nothing I can do to get it back, but I did read an article that said you're one of the SEC's biggest power brokers. So I don't know if you can throw your hat in the ring for us to keep
LSU. I think the person who wrote that needs to be investigated for misinformation.
Well, it was from 2002, so who knows?
By the way, it may have been true back then. Probably not true anymore.
Well, hey, thanks for everything, man. Really enjoyed the show this week. Hope you have a relaxing weekend, and we'll talk to you Monday.
Thank you very much. Hugh is in Deep Gap, North Carolina.
Good afternoon, Paul. Got a little chilly weather and big wind today, so I'm trying to burn up the rest of my firewood that was out on the side porch.
Well, it looks like it's about to get warm, so you may want to hurry up.
Well, I don't think it'll be warm until tomorrow, and I don't have enough firewood to last to then. So that's I've got a reason for calling you. You know, we're kind of down to the last big deal that's going to go down in football is the NFL draft, and been doing a little speculating about that, and here's my take on the quarterback deal. Since 3-10, you know, there's at least three, really probably four, of the top five quarterbacks or SEC players. Here's my take on it. I really believe that Bryce, the Alabama quarterback, has the highest floor of any of them. And I think Stroud probably is right behind him in terms of his floor of his expectation of what he's demonstrated over a couple of years, what they can do. And I would actually place the Tennessee quarterback, who's injured, probably third, and then Will Levis out of Kentucky fourth, and Richardson fifth out of Florida. However, that's not the story when it comes to ceiling. I really think Bryce and the Tennessee quarterback are going to suffer with a size problem. I think when the smoke clears and the NFL announces the official size, Bryce is going to be in the neighborhood of 5'10 and around 190 pounds or less. And Stroud will be a better size than that and a good arm. I think he will probably be drafted before Bryce. And I'm not sure where the Tennessee quarterback will be drafted, but he showed me during the season he has an NFL arm. What we don't know is whether or not he has an NFL body. But by far, the best upside of the bunch all the way around is Will Levis. And here's the reason I say that. The NFL, according to the talking heads, is going to do away with the scrum on fourth down and one that Philadelphia wore out in the Super Bowl. I think we've seen the last of that we're going to see in the NFL. And of those five quarterbacks, who would you rather have taken the snap behind center with fourth and one in the red zone? And it's pretty clear it's Will Levis. His size and ability, he has a terrific ceiling, but a lot of mechanical things he needs to work out. He's the closest thing in the draft we've seen in several years to Ben Roethlisberger with his strength and size and stamina and structure. I really think the long shot that may be the best gamble of the five is Richardson. What an athlete, great size, great arm, but like a wild tiger, you don't know what you're going to get. He's definitely a work project, but I think he's probably worth it. Paul, what do you think about that?
Yeah, you know, Hugh, on Richardson, I was talking to Dan Mullen in L.A. a couple weeks ago, and he said he's the most talented, athletically gifted quarterback he's ever seen.
I agree.
And, you know, it's hard to wrap your arms around those words, except NFL coaches love athleticism, and I think someone will take a chance on him very early.
Well, people, remember, Paul, all of this draft business and professional athletics, the promise of what's on the other side of the rainbow is stronger than what you've done at the collegiate level. And that is particularly true of Alabama quarterbacks that have not fared well in the NFL compared to other quarterbacks from lesser-known programs. And for whatever reason, whether it's they're traveling with much better company and better teams and better coach, whatever, da-da-da-da-da-da, we've all heard all of it. I'm going to tell you this. Bryce Young is a frail man. He's not very big, and they will break him half in two like a toothpick in the NFL. There is nowhere to hide from him in a pocket, and you can't be slippery enough to always get away. And what we do not understand are guys like the New Orleans quarterback that was 6 feet tall, not a giant, but as his coach said, he was one of the most fabulous athletes he ever saw. He had a stout body, strong bone structure, and he could stand flat-footed under the basket and slam dunk a basketball. That's the kind of strength and athletic ability you don't normally get in a kid under 6 feet tall. And the same might be said for the Wilson kid that was traded from Seattle to Denver. But I love what Bryce has done. I don't think there's a college quarterback that has demonstrated more skill over the last 2 years. I just don't think his size is going to translate well for him in the demands of an NFL quarterback. If the NFL indeed takes away the scrum, then having a horse taking that snap on a 4th-and-1 in the red zone becomes a critical item. And there's nobody in that draft that plays quarterback that has the stature that Will Levis does to get that job done. Plus the fact he's got a cannon of an arm. He threw up 240 yards against Georgia, 35 degrees and 35-mile-an-hour wind, 240-yard catches, and Georgia never had one over 15 yards.
Hugh, thank you very much. I really appreciate your call. Jim is up next.
Paul, this is going to be one of the rarest things on this show in the last 2 or 3 years. You know what it is?
What's
a sapient, excellent, interesting, entertaining phone call from a caller, not from a guest. You don't get any of that from a guest. I want to refer to Dustin, Dusty Little Dustin, the guy like so many others that come in here and think they can shoot down the king of the rodeo, and you know that's me. I'm not bragging. That's a fact. You told me one time. That's a fact. I can back it up. You can back it up. Your book, page 54, backs it up. Legion, you got nothing written about you. But Paul knew what I was when he heard me one day, and that's all it amounts to. But these Dustins and these AJs and these morons, Paul, are you there?
Yeah, I'm still here, Jim.
Well, I heard a beep. What was the beep? You got me scared. What's the beep? Did you hear the beep?
Could be the Chinese beep, beep, listening beep. In.
Well, absolutely, you don't talk. But I appreciate you being cordial to my name and to me with Dusty, Duty Duty Dusty.
Yeah, I didn't appreciate that, Jim. I didn't feel like Dustin's earned the right. I mean, some people...
There you go. Now you're on target. Thank you. That's the old fine bomb. On target.
Yeah, no.
Spot on target. Really, I'm serious.
I mean, listen, if you know, back in the Cuban cigar room, there's a handful of guys. If they want to take a shot at Jim, they've been in the ring before. Dustin's not in that group.
Neither is, how about that moron clown, that phony, that made-up artist, that bull, you know, what comes after that artist. AJ,
by the way, AJ doesn't even, I mean, AJ's not even, he's not getting past the bouncers.
That's great. That's great stuff, Paul. I don't know if you mean it or not, but it's good radio. It's good radio. You and me are good radio. Everybody said that years ago. You know that. We might hate each other, but we're good radio.
Jim, we, if they had just stayed out of the way and let us do our thing, we would have gone somewhere with this show.
Basically, Paul, I'm going to be honest with you when you said that you alerted my honesty. If ESPN had not been involved, this show would be on TV. It would. I mean, I'm talking about sitcom, whatever they want, guest on the Tonight Show.
Oh yeah.
I'm telling you, man. This, we know how to entertain, and we know what they want, and we know what's good and bad, and we just know what we know, and we know more than most of these people know, and we've forgotten more than most of these people know.
You're right. And again, ultimately, it's my fault, but. I thought it was our ticket. I didn't realize what would happen, Jim.
We all understand it's not an easily juggling act you have to do every day.
No.
We understand that. I've been understanding that.
You try to juggle
a moron with brilliant artists, and that's not easy to do.
Well, listen, let's leave it here because we have a guest waiting, but we'll come back and finish this thought in a few minutes. Nicole Auerbach joining us, talking about the importance of this latest NCAA case in court. What's it all about?
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And welcome back. This is the latest from Nicole Auerbach on this Johnson versus NCAA case. According to her, it's clear the judges are better versed in NCAA jargon than ever before. The panel asked the right questions and raised key points on NIL, athlete time demands, media deals, and more. Nicole, thanks so much. Always great to be able to talk to you. For those who aren't following it in real time like you are, how would you describe what this is really all about and obviously what it could mean?
Yeah, well, Paul, thanks for having me. And I go back to just big picture is that there's multiple outside pressure points for the NCAA right now. And there's a couple different lawsuits that are working their way through the system. This one in particular is pretty easy to explain. The concept is basic. They're just asking for minimum wage. They're asking for athletes, Division I schools, to be paid hourly wages. So they're comparing them to the same workers who work in the library, who do work study, who are serving concessions at the games that the athletes are playing in. They're saying they have the same time demands and employers have control over their schedule in the same way as employees as other companies. And so they're saying that they should be characterized as employees and entitled to hourly wages. This is not about revenue sharing. It's not about unionization. It is basically just saying, well, the student who's serving concessions at the stadium is getting paid for their work and their expectations tied to that job, and so should athletes.
Nicole, I think sometimes we could read too much into whatever case comes up next, and there are not that many, but they are important, or maybe too much. What do you and some of the people with whom you've spoken read into what we've seen so far?
So this week was very interesting. It was the oral argument. And so it's kind of a convoluted process about why this got to an appeal. They're basically trying to determine whether or not athletes could be deemed employees. And then that's, you know, kind of if the third district says that, well, that would put them at conflict with other district rulings and other precedents. So that's why it's kind of going through this unique appeal process right now, because they didn't actually have the trial yet. They didn't go through all the process and discovery and all of that. But they're trying to determine whether or not they could rule that they are employees. And you had three judges as part of this appeal process. And one of them straight up said, well, I don't know how you couldn't say that they're employees. So it certainly was not a good day in court for the NCAA because of the questions that they were being asked, which are always pretty hard to read into or always a little bit aggressive in oral arguments. They interrupt as part of the whole process. But they did not seem to entertain the NCAA's defense of its model in the same ways that other courts have in the past. And again, you had one judge straight up say that he doesn't see how you could possibly say that they would not be employees. And you had other judges really fixating on the time demands and the control over the schedules, the classes that people could take, the majors that they're able to sign up for in ways that, you know, when you're going through, again, it's kind of legal precedents and jargon, but you're trying to determine if they are certain factors of a previous case apply. And one of them is about that control over your schedule and the demands of your time. And so there was just the way that they were asking things make it seem very clear that they understand how big the business is of college sports, but also what the day-to-day looks like for the athletes in a way that maybe judges 5, 10 years ago, 15, 20, would not have said, understanding that also, yes, athletes can opt into this, but they were poking holes at the NCAA's circular logic, where there were some parts where it was like, well, they're not employees because they know that they're not going to, there's an expectation that they're not getting paid. And one of the judges pointed out and said, well, the expectation is that they're not going to get paid because you made it the expectation by saying that there's a rule for that. That's not a real free market there would be no value to pay the athletes. So it just felt like they understand what this system is and what it looks like in 2023, even including NIL deals. And they also understand in the wake of the Alston ruling, the unanimous ruling against the NCAA from the Supreme Court, this is really the first big opportunity to see what doors that case opened. And it certainly opens the door for more challenges and skepticism of the model. And I think you heard that in the way that the judges were asking questions in the oral arguments in this case.
Nicole Auerbach with us. Nicole, one other topic relating to the NCAA, Charlie Baker, the incoming president, he'll take over in a couple of weeks. He made some news this week when he indicated he would not live in Indianapolis, where the NCAA is headquartered. He's staying where he is in Massachusetts. He will spend a lot of time in D.C. I mean, some of that looks obvious, but do you have any... Any information or insight into what do you think we are going to see in terms of a paradigm shift when he officially takes over?
Yeah, I think that part isn't as surprising as it sounds. I understand that they're headquartered there, but I think that with such an emphasis right now on D.C. and politics and lobbying and obviously going for someone who had been a governor and wanting those political relationships, backgrounds, connections, the ability to get bipartisan support behind things, you knew that the next president was going to be spending a lot of time in D.C. I also don't know if you would have had the same candidate pool if you required the new president to move to Indianapolis. I mean, Charlie Baker, his whole life's been in Massachusetts. And so I think it made sense to be flexible on that. It's kind of like how we've seen a couple of different conferences go remote or essentially remote only, because there's enough events that gather everyone in one place to put on a championship or to have different meetings that you still feel like you're seeing your coworkers and you're working with them. But, you know, we're 3 years into a pandemic where everyone, even jobs that really do need to be in person, understand how to do it remote. And I think that these types of, you know, league offices, national office, I do think there's some flexibility there where you think you can have those relationships and do that. It's going to be interesting, of course, for him to build those relationships with people who are working out of the office in Indianapolis and feeling like there is that connection, because you are hiring someone who doesn't have years and years of experience and relationships in college sports. But I think it made sense when they wanted, you know, the caliber of candidate for that job. They wanted someone very accomplished. And when you're talking to someone who's, you know, spent so much time in the state of Massachusetts, their whole life is there and they've served there, I think it makes sense to allow them to continue to live there and assume that they'll just travel a lot on the job. And it's worth pointing out, too, that Mark Emmert was not always in Indianapolis as well. So I do think people have made a little bit too big of a deal out of it, because I think that job requires a fair bit of travel and was always going to be heavily focused on Washington, D.C. anyway. And you can get there from Boston. You can get there from Indy.
Yeah, you can get there a lot easier from Boston. But the NCAA private plane can get you anywhere. Nicole, before you go, I keep reading about the Pac-12, and none of it seems good. Is this league going to make it?
Yeah, I think people are being pretty dramatic there about the idea that, like, the conference won't exist. But I do think the longer that we wait before there is a media deal announced or potential expansion and a media deal announced, it just creates this circumstance where people get very anxious. And you hear that anxiety certainly outside of the Pac-12, but even within it, I think when, you know, you had the Pac-12 go to market and start this process, A, I don't think anyone thought it would take this long, but B, also you didn't expect the Big 12 to jump ahead in the pecking order and get their extension done before the Pac-12 did. And that's where a lot of people, even within the league, are saying that that was a misstep, right? That was a miscalculation, letting the Big 12 get their deal done before yours is wrapped up. I think there were also a number of different delays. I think there was real optimism from George Kliavkoff in the Pac-12 office that, you know, maybe UCLA wouldn't be able to join the Big Ten. And so there were things that I personally don't think should have been delays and should have held up the process. But I do think that the longer that this drags on, the more nervous people get about the money involved, the quality of the deal, how much of it will actually be streaming only. And it just creates this environment with a vacuum of information that people do start to tee off on the league, and other conferences or other schools kind of are asserting their positions of relative strength that they believe. And we're all just in this waiting period. And so I think having a statement come out on behalf of the presidents that was really uninspiring, and this delay, this deal that is stretching on and stretching on, that originally at one point people were hoping would be done by Thanksgiving. Now we're on the doorstep of March. That's where the anxiety comes from. So we don't know exactly where it's going to land, but I think the lack of certainty is what's creating all of these narratives and all of these storylines. And again, I'm not saying that people, you know, it depends who you talk to about how optimistic or confident or comfortable they feel, but we just don't know at this point. And I think it's that not knowing that is leading to a lot of the negativity.
Great stuff, as always, Nicole Auerbach. We really appreciate Nicole dropping in, one of our most coveted guests. We'll take a break here as we continue the program. More of your phone calls coming up. We'll delve into this Nick Saban situation with Kirby Smart. There always seems to be one of those. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Back on our program, Matt is next.
Again, I appreciate that, but I really do. So number one of the reasons is everybody says this year we're going to go 8-4. I understand we're 5-7 last year. I get it. But one reason, 9 starters coming back this year on both sides of the ball, Number two, I don't think Auburn or Miami has the depth or the talent to compete with us. Number four, wherever, like I said, our offensive trainer has gone, he's made the offense better, including quarterback, receivers, 0.9 yards. Number five, DJ Durkin's, that was his first year, so it was growing pains. I'm going to get burned in secondary. I'm going to stop the running better. I want your thoughts on the basketball game with Arkansas in the football season this year.
Dwayne is up next. Did I get to number six or not? Dwayne is on the air. Hello, Dwayne.
That was that clown you had just now.
That was Matt from man. That was Matt from San Antonio.
That's a clown, man. That dude sounds like a straight clown. Hey, Mr. Paul Feinbaum, I want to tell you something. You Alabama lover.
Okay.
Hey, that boy from
Roll
Tulane,
Tide.
That quarterback from Tulane.
Yeah.
See that quarterback from Tulane? That boy came back from a 24-point lead against USC and beat them. I think Tulane lost one game, huh?
Tulane did lose one game, and then they beat Southern Cal in the Cotton Bowl. You are correct.
And that boy, hey, you
didn't
watch that
lost
quarterback? You didn't watch that quarterback for Tulane? That boy was bad.
By the way, they lost two games, Dwayne, not one.
But he's good. You watch that quarterback. I mean,
They lost to Southern Miss and UCF. How they lost either one, I'll never
know. Yeah, but I think he better than Kentucky quarterback.
Nah, I don't know about that.
Yeah, you don't know about that, but check this out. I'll watch your softball team today, Alabama girls against UCLA, and I'll see who win that game today, you know?
When is that? Is that game on later?
Yeah, game about to come on a few. Hey,
oh, okay.
You watch my LSU Tigers tonight. The number one team in the country in baseball, baby.
Who you guys playing? Who you guys
number
playing,
one.
Dwayne?
Huh?
Who are you playing?
Who we playing?
Yes.
We're playing Wichita.
Okay. Well, yeah. You know what, Dwayne? I like your I like your chances.
What?
I said, I think you're going to win the game. Hey, thanks for the call. Bill is in Virginia. Hello, Bill.
Hey, Paul. How are you this afternoon?
Bill, we are doing great. Thank you.
Thank you for taking my call. I got a couple questions for you. One is about Nick Saban. Was just wondering, I see he's getting all these other coaches to come in and help him. When do you think Jeremy Pruitt will be put on staff so he can take over the defensive coordinator position when Tennessee is through with all the sanctions, I guess?
Yeah, I think it's soon, Bill, right now. I mean, yeah, I mean, it's when you have an unlimited budget and a lot of friends, you take care of them. And I think Saban likes having a bunch of people around that either are younger or, in this case, more of a contemporary. I think once there is some more clarity with the NCAA, they'll bring Jeremy Pruitt in. But he'll be there this fall. I think that's a safe bet. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Elliot from Ohio, you're on the air. Hello, Elliot.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking the call. I just wanted to ask, with the possibility of schools having to pay players, doesn't this benefit the smaller schools of the massive conferences like the Big Ten, where they're going to get all these dollars that other schools won't have? Doesn't that benefit those smaller schools of the big conferences that have all those big deals?
Well, not necessarily, because the big schools have so much money. I think more important than NIL is the transfer portal, because players, they are always on the prowl, and there's always somebody trying to get them. But I think the bigger schools still have the money.
A small school in a big league does have money
because of all these new TV deals, but they don't have they don't have it to the degree that a Ohio State, Michigan, Alabama, Auburn, Florida would have.
But compared to the smaller schools in other conferences, they're going to win out.
Oh, sure. No, I agree with you on that. It's like everything else in the world, whether it's business or something else. I mean, the little guy is going to get hurt badly here. We're up against a break. We had to move a little quickly there because we went over on a couple of things earlier, so we'll take a break. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
And we're back. Susie is in Georgia on this Friday afternoon. Hello, Susie.
Hi, Paul, can you hear me? I'm in my car. Do I need to turn my car radio down?
Susie, you've never sounded better. Thank you for the call.
Thank you. Well, Daniel kind of made me feel that way when I called. Tell him thank you. He made me feel special today. Two things. I wanted to call yesterday. I ended up calling anyway and talking when I turned the show on yesterday and you weren't on. I was hoping you weren't sick. And I almost turned it off because I thought, well, Paul's not on there. But I really enjoyed them. They did a great job.
Well, I heard that.
It was a great show.
I'm really glad to hear that.
So kudos to them. And anytime you can look at Roman and the way he dresses, you know, he's pretty snazzy.
I've always
thought that, though, when I watch SEC in the morning. I wanted to call yesterday to get your thoughts on Alabama-Tennessee basketball Wednesday night.
Yeah, I'm still going back to Legends call on Wednesday night, guaranteeing that as the easiest win of the night. I hope Legend didn't lose too much money.
I hope not either. I get so nervous when I watch it. I basically watch the basketball game on mute, but was excited that we pulled it off because, of course, I'm UT. And the other thing is Bobo. I remember, when did Bobo leave Georgia?
I believe he left 2014, 2015, somewhere in there. He became the head coach at Colorado State. Then he got fired. Then he spent a year at South Carolina and a year at Auburn.
Okay, so he's never been in the NFL as an assistant.
Bobo, no.
Oh, okay. I just remember, and was that under Mark Rick?
Correct.
Okay. I just remember, because I'm surrounded by Georgia fans, you know, when I taught, and they were very, very excited when Bobo left. I think they gave them a huge going away party, the fans. So, you know, when I heard that Kirby Smart hired him, I'm just wondering how the fans are reacting, if they've already started to react, and your thoughts.
Well, here's what I think happens with people like Bobo. Fans get mad at the head coach and blame it on the offensive coordinator. And knowing Mark Richt, who was formerly an offensive coordinator, Bobo was doing what he wanted him to do. I'm not defending Bobo. I mean, Bobo has some cleaning up his reputation to do, and a big season will do that. But there is a stigma attached to him. Now, the jobs, the South Carolina job, I mean, he took over. He was down there with Will Muschamp. It was a disaster. And, you know, he was not going to stick around that job. And I don't know what happened at Auburn. I mean, nothing went right there. So, ultimately, you know, he's getting a lot of negativity, but it's easy. It's easy. People are looking for something to isolate with Kirby Smart and find a reason not to automatically say, you are going to win it again.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I wish him the best. I don't ever wish anybody any ill will. I mean, that's just not the way I live. I just, you know, remembered from the past that there was negativity in that, so I was kind of shocked, you know, when I heard that that's who he chose. And, like, I do wish them well. I don't wish Georgia to win three in a row because I want to see UT eventually get back up there. So it'll be interesting. You're having someone come on and talk about this.
We are literally, Susie, as you're driving, we'll have Connor Riley on in a minute. Thanks for the call, by the way, and we'll talk to him about the Dogs. Shane is up next in Georgia.
Hey, Paul, thank you. And Susie was a good caller, bless her heart. She is. But the reason I'm calling, I don't know or expect you to remember this, Paul, but about a month or so before the season started last year, I called and talked to you about Georgia. And, you know, I said the skepticism about Georgia lost so many players, and I wanted to push back and tell you why I thought they were going to be an elite team. And they went undefeated. And I told you, I said, I think they're going to go undefeated. I think that with the talent that they have coming back, they're going to have a legitimate chance to win it again. And they did. And so I'm looking for the skepticism rumors to start, you know, flying again, because we're going to lose probably 9 to 12 players this year to the draft. But the three quarterbacks that we have in waiting, Carson Beck, Gunnar Stockton, Brock Vandergriff, any one of those three guys that Bobo and Kirby pick are going to break on the scene. Carson Beck has he's faster than you think he is. He has elusive speed, has a cannon for an arm. He's very accurate, and he's gotten playing time in the last 2 years. So I think it's going to be Carson Beck. I think the majority
Shane, the one thing Kirby has to deal with, though, and it's a guarantee that whatever happens in spring, one or more of those guys are going to leave. And those rumors will start as soon as they all put on the pads. There are already rumors out there. We'll take a break. We'll talk about the Dogs in a minute with Connor Riley. He's up next.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.